Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sean, take my advice and watch the Killers' performance of that song at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony over the weekend.
Exceptional cover.
Right?
Exceptional.
Warren Zevon, one of the all-time great artists. I thought Dave Letterman did a good job inducting him as well. So
Outkast.
Yeah, what?
Outkast performed too. I hate that Andre 3000 doesn't perform no more. Yeah. So it's like, you know.
It's not really without him. It's not Outkast.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, yeah, they were inducted, but it's just different because they had performances up there. Big Boy, he still performs, yeah. But it's just...
Big Boy is the way I say that.
Andre 3000 now does, like, flute music, right?
Yeah, he doesn't do any rapping or anything.
Nope, that's... I'm dead serious.
The jazz flute?
No, it's Big Boy.
Yeah. Big Boy. That's the way we say it in the streets.
Yeah, Big Boy, he's still out performing, though, but, yeah, it's not the same without Andre.
All right. Well, it's a Thai Tuesday, and Thai Law is brought to you by Corvus Vodka, the official vodka of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, by your New England Chevy dealers. Together, Let's Drive, by Apex Entertainment. Visit 100,000 square feet of pure fun at Apex in Marlboro, and by 110 Grill. Visit one of the 34 locations throughout New England for modern American cuisine in a trendy, casual atmosphere. And back safely, I believe, from his first ever cruise, it is Ty Law who joins us this morning. Hey, Ty.
Well, good morning, guys. I mean, how you doing? Hey, let me correct you before we get started. It's not my first ever cruise. It's my first cruise in a very long time. So, okay. You know, it was a good time. I'm back here. I'm glad to be back. Back in the U.S. on dry land. I ain't going to lie, man. That's a long damn time on the boat, bro. You know what I mean? I don't know if I'm going to be back anytime soon, but I had a good time. My daughter, it was all about her. Great sweet 16. Took a lot of my money, but, hey, got to get back to work.
What was the what was the highlight?
You know what? St. Martin. I got to say St. Martin was very nice. You know what I mean? It's a small island over there, but the people was great. The food was great. And just, man, never been there before. So, I mean, I was surprised to see, you know, especially like the duty free over there, man, you get some good discounts, save on some taxes, man. So they got everything there, but just the island and the people is what made it, in my opinion.
Did you get to witness any kind of a fight over the buffet on the cruise or anything like that?
No, I mean, but you know what? Everybody talked bad about Carnival. I'm like, damn. I mean, the Carnival stories was absolutely hilarious. You know what I mean? So because there's a lot of people that cruise, and this is what they do. It's people that go on 30 cruises, and they've been on so many countries. So people really you know, do this cruise thing seriously. But they always, you know, not too many great things to say about Carnival. I don't know anything about Carnival, but, you know, hey, that was kind of like the ongoing joke. So I guess you got the Royal Caribbean snobs, you know, out there, and they know cruises. So, you know, I just got to take their word for it, I guess. But the food was great. I was a little bit worried about that because how you going to feed this many people day in and day out? But they had it going on, man. Hey, Wiggy, I'm big back right now, bro. I mean, I ate everything. I mean, they had lobster. I'm talking about the food was amazing, bro. So I'm like, man, that's a hell of an operation for them to be able to do that with 7,500 people on the boat. The ship was one of it's the biggest ship, you know, of all of everyone right now. You know, the Star of the Seas. Royal Caribbean. So, hey, I mean, it was a great time. Like I said, my daughter was happy. You know, dad got some cool points. So that's good for me.
A lot of kids on these cruises, though? Because you went on.
Yes, it was. It was a lot of kids on there. Right. I mean, it was funny. I'm like, damn, you know, I was thinking, like, ain't going to be no kids on here. You got school because my daughter out of school. Man, everybody kids were out of school.
Yeah. Well, while
so they got
you...
the water slides in them.
While you were gone, the New England Patriots continued their winning ways, and this team is now 8-2. That's 7 in a row. They're 5-0 on the road, and it is quite a turnaround for this football team, Ty Law.
You know what? I got to go back. We number one seed. We number one seed. You know, and it's and the Super Bowl is going to have to go through New England, they keep playing like that. The schedule is favorable to the Patriots. Drake May is playing like an MVP. He's spreading the ball around. I mean, offense is looking incredible. Defense is playing well. So they got to keep it up. But they got the schedule that says, you know what, I can get a bye week. And then once you get into the playoffs, as you know, Wiggy, anything can happen. And if you're hot like the Patriots are right now, hey, man, watch out. Watch out.
Ty, we talk about this every week. And, you know, there's not much that you can, you know, look at the Patriots and go, all right, complain about. But it seems like every week, and it doesn't seem like it's Christian Gonzalez that's the culprit of it, but it just seems like their pass defense, man. I don't know what it is at times. I'm just like.
They got the number one run defense in the league.
Yeah, they got the number one run defense in the league. They don't let up a lot of points, but it seems like at times their pass defense struggles, whether it's their pass rush or their man-to-man coverage or just blowing coverages.
I said that the last 2 weeks is something missing in the secondary and on defense. And I can tell you, as a competitor, as a defensive back, you can't give up 100 yards receiving to any individual. I don't give a damn who it is, especially when you got, you know, all pro, a top corner by the name of Christian Gonzalez out there on your defense. You know, I don't understand it. I mean, they gave up what? How many 100-yard receivers, you know, this year in the past few weeks? So I think if they get that together, and I think they just have to trust themselves because I know they have the athletic ability to go out there. I can't put my finger on it either, other than you're not competing on an individual basis. You're not getting up and challenging receivers at the line of scrimmage. I hate to see cornerbacks, especially when you want to come out there and get the real bag. You better go up there and get in somebody's face. You better challenge them.
Ty, you notice the thing I noticed, and you probably can see it better than I do, because even on Njigba's first touchdown, it looked like he was being covered by, or Marcus Jones was supposed to cover him. It seems like they don't match with Christian Gonzalez. Like, he doesn't follow around the best player. Is that something you notice?
Yes, I've noticed that too, and I don't understand why. Maybe because of the injury, he's still, you know, getting himself, you know, going again. I mean, I don't know, but why not have someone with that type of talent and has all this upside? Why not give him the responsibility of being the number one guy and coach him as such? And when you got a number one receiver over there, guess what? This is where you're going. I knew coming into every game where I was going. We played Indianapolis. I already know I got Marvin Harrison. We go to New York. I already know I got Keyshawn. Whoever the top guy is, Dallas, Michael Irvin, that's what you have to do when you have a number one corner, and you're supposed to want to accept the challenge. I don't know if he's going up to Coach Vrabel or not, but Christian Gonzalez, go to Mike Vrabel's office. I'm talking from experience. Just like Bill Belichick. I go to Bill Belichick's office. If he tried to put me on somebody else, I will go in there. No, we're not. I don't give a damn. He told me he did the Reggie Wayne thing before. Hey, we're going to put you on Reggie Wayne, and we're going to double Marvin. No, the hell we're not. I ain't covering no Reggie Wayne. What I'm going to cover Reggie Wayne for? I want Marvin. I ain't scared of Marvin. So you have to have that type of attitude as the corner. You got to want that challenge. So I think if he went up to Mike Vrabel, and like I said, maybe he has a nagging injury or something, but I think he needs to take it upon himself, especially when you want to get that contract. You want to take it upon yourself to get that bag. Take it upon yourself to go out there and earn it.
Ty Vrabel, after the win, kept talking about how the guys earned being tired. They're all tired. That was kind of a major theme. They're also beat up. It's a short week. Is this game against the Jets set up to be a trap game of any sorts in your mind?
Tired? That's what? I said tired? You can't be tired right now. And guess what? And if you tired, everybody's tired. If you nicked up, everyone nicked up. It's mid-season going into the playoffs, so ain't nobody trying to hear none of that. Yeah, it's a short week, but you got to find a way to win, and that's what great teams do. So, and I don't want to hear nothing about, you know, anybody's tired, because all 32 teams in the league, even if you stink right now, you know, they're going to say they're tired. So, you know, that's not an excuse, but you got to go out there and play ball. A short week, guess what? You're playing against the Jets. The scheduling gods did you a favor. If you go out there, if you let the Jets be a trap game, that's that. I don't know what to say. I don't know what I'll be able to say next week if you lose this game. We expect you to win. We expect you to win convincingly. They let their top player go and go on to Indianapolis. That's going to be the challenge that I'm looking forward to seeing, because this is coming back to the old school. The Patriots versus Indianapolis. You know, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, and all the, and everybody else in between. But these two quarterbacks right now are both playing MVP. You're talking about that running back that they got down there, he's MVP. Drake May is in the MVP conversation, so I don't even give him a damn about Buffalo right now. Yeah, Baltimore is coming back, but the Patriots are number one, and the Super Bowl is going through Foxborough.
Wiggy gets offended when he hears it, but I'll ask you. There are comparisons being made between this team and the 2001 team. Any similarities from your perspective?
I mean, it's a similarity to how they're playing, you know, team football, and I think that's a great reflection of Mike Vrabel and the culture that he's creating around there now. So, I mean, there's similarities, but, I mean, we'd whoop their ass right now at this point because we had more experience at the time, you know, and I think we're overall better football team. You know, of course, I'm going to go with the teams that we was on. We won the championship, so you can compare that, you know, right now, because we won a championship. But there are similarities, Greg, in how they play as a team. You never know who's going to make the next play. You have a quarterback who is proving himself to be the real deal. I mean, the whole Tom Brady comparisons right now, I think you can, at such a young age, you can compare him to Tom Brady right now at this point in his career where Tom Brady was at. But it's hard for people to understand that. You can compare it. You can. Yes, you can compare it because where Tom Brady was at this point in his career. You know what I mean? So, you know, it's just hard to fathom that somebody can be compared to Tom because of the totality of the career. He's the greatest of all time. So we're not going to get too excited, but you can make those comparisons, how he's distributing the ball to everyone. You know, he's finding the open guy, making the right reads, man. So I'm real excited for Drake May and his future. But to say, you know, Tom Brady in totality, hell no, we ain't going to do that. We're not going to disrespect the GOAT.
That is Ty's Drake take, and it is presented by your New England Chevy dealers. Together, let's drive.
Ty, I love hearing your conversations in the past about just how different the culture was with the Jets. Was it something that you noted right away? I think you told the story of players planning their off season in the tunnel heading into before a game started. Was it really that different playing in New York than it was playing here for the Patriots?
Yeah, it was. It was very different. And me coming, you know, from the Patriots, you know, you got to get in where you fit in. This is, you know, Curtis Martin. I used to always talk to Curtis like, yo, Curtis, what the hell is this? Curtis is, that's just how they do. Curtis was not very, you know, vocal or controversial, but, you know, it was more like, they, I mean, with game, the game didn't even start, you know what I mean? So I didn't understand that one. I thought I was in the Twilight Zone. And then, you know, the music. So you know how it was when you have on your headphones and you listen to what you want to listen to. Man, we had 10 DJs in there in New York. Man, I was like, what the hell? I mean, you got this music over here, everybody playing it loud. And I had, now I went over to Curtis. I said, Curtis, man, what the hell is this? You know, I'm an outsider. If that was our locker room, we come in right now and we like, oh, hell no, we don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear what you listening to over there. I don't want to hear what you listening to. Everybody's fighting, you know, for the music instead of being into themselves and getting into that zone. So it was a totally different, you know, culture. It was looser. They let, you know, players and the locker room leaders let everybody be themselves that way, but it wasn't conducive to winning. You know, it wasn't a winning culture. And then coming from New England, like I said, we had more of a structure and it made more sense. We did more winning, and I realized why, you know, when I went there. But, hey, who am I? I'm just a guy that's a free agent. Obviously, hell, I got cut. I got fired, so I had to go in to get where I get in where I fit in.
Time for the most entertaining play of the game, which is brought to you by Apex Entertainment. Visit 100,000 square feet of pure fun at Apex and Marlboro. Shime? Wiggy?
It's easy for me. It's Travion Henderson's second touchdown. The toss when he's running. He's like, should I go in the end zone, coach? Yeah. Like, for me, that was
Ty, you agree?
Yeah, I agree, man. He had a hell of a game, even though that's a Buckeye, but he's on the Patriots now, so all is forgiven.
I think the Kyle Williams touchdown needs to be mentioned, too, because, man, that boy was flying down the sideline.
That throw.
Yeah, what was that boy's 40 time? I was looking at that, too. I thought that was, you know how some of the TV or the film could just make you see you faster, Wiggy?
I think he's like a 4-3 guy. I think he's a 4-4 flat. All right. Yeah, I thought it was like a 4-3. Yeah, that's moving.
Yeah, he got some game speed, didn't I tell you that?
He got another gear. And I think, you know, Ty, it's interesting that you bring up the culture thing. And because I've been on teams like that where guys are just like, all right, man, I'm ready to get up out of here. My bags are packed. And I think a lot has to do with the head coach and the culture that you create. And I think Vrabel comes from the world that we come from where – you know, you're not in there blasting your music. You're kind of focused and everybody's doing their old thing. And that's why I really, like, I like this team because of what Vrabel brings to the table in that element.
Ooh. Vrabel?
Right. And Vrabel is is the MVP as far as coaching. He is coach of the year. And I can't see no other candidate out there right now besides Mike Vrabel. And hats off to Mr. Kraft, too, because, I mean, you know, this man hired somebody, fired him in 1 year. Man, maybe that's why he's a billionaire. You know, he don't give a damn. I don't know, but, you know, he made the right choice. I don't like how it went down, kind of like with last coach, you know,
Mayo.
With Gerard, you know, with Mayo. I mean, it's like, you know, it's like, man, damn, give him a chance. But at the same time, man, you look at it now. He made a hell of a decision, you know, to bring Mike Vrabel back there and look at the Patriots now. They're back on top. So, you know, kudos to Mr. Kraft, you know, for making that tough decision. And that's why he is who he is, you know.
Yeah,
and,
well,
you know,
I mean, he had to admit that he was wrong. Like, he
big
was
balls.
He was out loudly proclaiming that he identified the next head coach 5 years ago. And right. So. Yeah, you're right about that, Ty. Like it takes a lot of guts to do that, and thank God he figured it out and figured out that Mike Vrabel's the right guy, because the turnaround is huge.
Yeah, because you know Gerard. I mean, to be honest, Gerard, he was one of Kraft's guys. You know what I mean? For a long time, yeah, I know he had a lot of respect for Mayo, but sometimes, you know, being, you know, in a position, you know, of course not on that level. I couldn't wait to fire the first person. I couldn't wait to fire somebody's ass. I swear to God, I was like, ooh, I'm looking forward to this. But you know what? It was the hardest thing that I ever had to do, man. So, you know, shout out to Mr. Kraft, man, for you know, making that decision and bringing the Patriots back. Shout out to Mike Vrabel. That's our coach of the year right now. Hopefully we can get both of them at the banquet. Coach of the year and Drake May being the MVP. That would be awesome, man, especially in Mike Vrabel's first year. But I think he's definitely going to get it. He's the front runner for the coach of the year.
Yeah, I got a carton of milk this morning, and Gerard Mayo's picture was on it.
You know what? If he listens out there, Mayo, damn it, I tried to call you a couple times, man. What's going on, man? I ain't do nothing, man. Yeah, Come on, man. Where Mayo at, man?
He's MIA.
He doesn't answer your calls?
Yeah, he's MIA.
Man, you know what? He answered my call, you know what I mean? So I was like, maybe change his number. I don't know. But just to reach out to him, because like I said, Gerard Mayo is a friend, good dude, man. It was unfortunate circumstances. I think we all agreed that he got the short end of the stick, but it's about winning, you know, football games. And Mr. Kraft, he made a decision. He made it earlier than what anybody could have anticipated it. And it actually worked out for him. I think it'll be a different conversation if Rabel and the team wasn't so successful. But when you're having this type of success, he made the right decision, unfortunately, at the expense of Gerard Mayo.
Do you guys think he ends up coaching somewhere else?
Hell yeah. I mean, as a position coach, I was no doubt my if he still wanted to do it, absolutely.
I think it would be like, who does he know? Who does he know that would, like, hire him? Like, he's clearly not going to go on Bill's staff, right? No. So he would need to.
Mike Tomlin.
All right, yeah, maybe Mike T.
Yeah.
You know, as like a linebacker coach, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, I think he would. And I think, you know, if he goes out and has some success as a coach and a coordinator, he'll get another opportunity because he's tasted and he's seen, you know, he tasted how it is to be a head coach. Now, he has to get some more experience as a coordinator. Just like Josh McDaniels, I think that he'll get another opportunity the way he's coaching right now. And do they got a coach of the year for assistant coaches or coordinator? I don't know. Do they got any kind of awards for that?
I'm not sure.
So. No, yeah. I don't think so.
Well, guess what? We better hope Josh McDaniels stays around and he likes the coordinator's job, because you can't tell me that somebody like the New York Giants ain't looking to say, oh, we got us a young stud at quarterback who's out there. They're going to be coming for Josh McDaniels. I'm just telling you right now. I mean, they got rid of Daboll. That was surprising. He was a couple years ago. He was coach of the damn year. But they got some talent. So he is coaching so well that Josh McDaniel is going to get another opportunity to be a head coach. And it might come sooner than later.
Rebuttal? From anyone in the room?
That's what I said yesterday.
Let him head out.
Anything to say to the Hall of Famer?
I got nothing. I'm fine with them leaving.
They laughed at me yesterday.
Go for it, Wiggy.
Ty, I love you.
Say it again.
I believe very strongly that John Mara will never hire another member of the Belichick tree. I think they're 0 for 3 so far. They had Daboll. They had Judge. They are not going to go back down that road, I don't think.
You know what? Belichick ain't having too much success in Carolina. You think he wouldn't come back? You know what? This college thing ain't working out. Everybody trying to hit on my girl. You know what? I'm going to come on back up here. I'm going to come up here and go to New York, the Giants. You know what I mean? Just go ahead and break the record. You know what I mean? And come up here and get some wins. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if Belichick's name get thrown in the hat up in New York.
And Ty, don't be surprised about this, because I don't think a lot of people are thinking about this. If Bill does go somewhere in the league, who you think he bringing in his OC?
Well, you think that Josh McDaniels? I think Josh McDaniels will stay with Mike Vrabel.
I don't know. I don't, because
isn't the whole thing that Josh's family loves being back in Boston?
Yes, they love it here. Yeah, the kids go to school here, yeah, et cetera, et cetera.
But like, everybody loves it where they are until they see a lot more zeros on their paycheck and go, you know what? I can love New York too when you're paying me $10 million a year.
All right, Ty. Ty, as always, a pleasure. We will see you soon, I hope.
All right. Thanks, guys. I'll see you guys next week. Be in studio next week.
All right. That is Ty Law on a Ty Tuesday at WEI.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan, equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed-sponsored jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed-sponsored jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored jobs boost your post for quality candidates, so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed sponsored jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10-7 through 12-1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
WEEI Afternoons on a Thursday afternoon. We go right to the guest line, as we do each week, to talk to ESPN's Adam Schefter. Adam is brought to you by your New England Chevy dealers. Together, let's drive, and by Jeanne d'Arc Credit Union, tackling financial wellness since 1912. Stronger members, stronger communities. Learn more at jdcu.org. Adam, how are we doing this week?
Hello there, gentlemen. What's going on today?
We're living the good life of a football team that's won 7 games in a row, so I'll start there. That win on Sunday in Tampa Bay. On our post-game show, I used the term validating, because all year we've been talking about the schedule and can this keep up. Do you believe that was a validation game for the Patriots?
They played exceptionally well, and it was a game. Yeah, I guess you could call it a validation game to a certain extent, right? Like, they went out there, they beat a good team on the road, and they won a game that I think maybe a lot of people might not have expected them to win. So I guess, to your point, it validated who they – you know, here's the thing. It really was one of the tougher games remaining on their schedule. So if they go and win on the road in Tampa, it just really puts them in a great position to win the AFC East. And they win there. Buffalo loses in Miami. They're both in the state of Florida. One team comes out success, and it just sets up New England to be in a great spot to have the kind of season that not a lot of people were expecting.
So, Adam, following that win on Sunday, and with the way things have gone for the Patriots, now 8-2, in control of the AFC East, 7 straight, et cetera, and Drake May playing like he's like a man on fire, do you feel comfortable saying now that the New England Patriots are a legitimate Super Bowl contender?
Yeah, I got no issue with that right now. Like, it looks like they're going to win the division. It looks like they're going to have a home playoff game. If you have a home playoff game, why wouldn't you be a Super Bowl contender? I mean, not like, as a general rule, teams that play at home in the playoffs are Super Bowl contenders. Like, I don't think that's anything bold or daring to say that. They've played very well. Look, they still have a ways to go here. But the season's going better than people thought, and it's leading to questions like the one you're asking right now.
You know, Adam, sad news a few days ago. The passing of former Commissioner Paul Tagliabue. He was the commissioner from 1989 to 2006. He oversaw a lot of different things, you know, tried to spread the game around the world. You know, two new expansion teams over in his tenure. Just how would you define Paul's, you know, legacy as commissioner? What did you, how did you think he did as a commissioner? What would be his legacy, you think?
Well, I think there are a few things that he did. He helped grow the game internationally. He helped lead the NFL into this TV era where the money is so gargantuan. He was at, you know, one of the people at the forefront of that with Robert Kraft and Jerry Jones and Pat Bowlen. He was somebody that oversaw the construction of 20 new stadiums during his commissionership. He stepped in and postponed games the week of 9/11. He helped the Saints during that time of Hurricane Katrina. There were people that obviously questioned whether his record was strong enough on concussions. That obviously is up for debate. But you can't deny that he had an enormous impact on the NFL, left a tremendous legacy, one of four NFL commissioners in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. When you're in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, obviously, you accomplish something.
Time to get this week's Drake Take from Adam Schefter, presented by your New England Chevy dealers. Together, let's drive. And it's a little bit of an offshoot Drake question. Josh McDaniels is suddenly getting a little buzz for the job he's done, obviously, with Drake May and how well he's playing. And at least in these parts, people are wondering, is Josh going to get a third chance to be a head coach? Could Josh be a candidate for that New York Giants job with Jackson Dart, a young quarterback that they'll want to support? So I'm wondering, what does Josh McDaniels' future look like? Do you think he's going to get another chance to be a head coach?
Oh, I would say this. That's Josh McDaniels' future looks like he's going to be the offensive coordinator of the New England Patriots right now. That's how I view it. You know, he's got strong roots in the area. He's had two head coaching jobs that haven't worked yet. He might at some point get a third. He's deserving of that, worthy of that, but I don't see that happening anytime soon. And if you're Josh McDaniels and, you know, you've got children in the New England area, like, you want to see this through when you've got a quarterback like Drake May and an organization you know and feel quite comfortable in with a head coach like Mike Vrabel. So, yeah, to me, he's not going anywhere.
So earlier today, Adam, Rob Gronkowski signed a one-day contract to retire as a member of the New England Patriots. And we were having a little bit of a debate here on the show as to whether or not we thought Gronk deserved a statue. Where do you stand on the idea of all-time players being remembered with these one-day contracts, and most especially statues? Are you a big statue guy to honor the greats?
I like the statues a lot more than I like one-day contracts. Like, these one-day contracts, with all due respect, it doesn't do much for me. You know, like, okay, great. We know he was great. We know the impact he had. Like, you sign a one-day, what does that do? I don't get it. Like, I'm not a player, so maybe I'm missing something. Tay, you tell me, what is the idea there? Like,
what is it? You know what it is, Adam? I'll be honest with you. The fans think it's something, and so that's why they do it. It's really, I think, for the fans. The fans don't understand that it means nothing, but they think it's something, and that's why they do it, is to appease the fans, in my opinion.
I guess. I mean, honestly, I think it's the most overrated, unnecessary story in football.
Can I jump in real quick, Adam? I think part of it is, I think the teams kind of love it, though, because it brings the spotlight back on them. But I also think it's like, it makes them feel like, you know, that Gronk is, he's a Patriot. He's not a Buccaneer, right? I think so. I think the teams enjoy it as much as the fans.
You might be right. But okay, what are the fans enjoying? They signed a guy.
he's retiring a Patriot. That, you know, his last team was not with the Patriots. It was with the Bucks, but now he finally came back around, and he truly is a Patriot because he signed a one-day contract. That's the only thing I can come up with. But
okay, great. I mean, I think of Rob Gronkowski. I don't think of him as a Buccaneer. I think of him as a Patriot. You know, so but if we need to memorialize that and put it into a writing and have a ceremony, a send-off, then fine.
I hear you. Hey, Adam, I'm curious. You know, the Browns are reportedly going to stick with Dylan Gabriel, and I think he's 1-4 in his starts. And I'm just curious. I'm a former Colorado Buff, and my Shedeur Sanders is there. Have you heard anything, or what's going on with Shedeur Sanders? How's his progress, and why isn't maybe he getting a chance to play? Considering how bad just the team is under Dylan Gabriel right now.
I still think before the year's through that he'll get a chance at some point, but. You know, the team has a third-round draft pick invested in Dylan Gabriel. They like the way he's played. They want to take a look at him. Give him time. And again, I think we'll see Shedeur at some point. I don't know if it'll be anytime soon. But they like Dylan Gabriel. And the idea of the season is to get a look at both guys, to be frank, to see, okay, where we got. I think we have an idea of what Dylan Gabriel is. And at some point in time here, I think they'll try to get an idea of what Shedeur is.
Adam, it's football aside, I know that it's American Diabetes Month, which I know is an important cause to you. So I wanted to give you a moment to just talk about that.
Well, I appreciate you asking. It is American Diabetes Month, and I've been out on a campaign trying to raise awareness, to have people get screened for type 1 diabetes. Diabetes can't be prevented, but it can be prepared for. I think it's important for people to go meet with their doctors, get screened for diabetes. They can visit the website. Screen for what is that? I had it by heart. I don't know it by now. Anyway, important to go to your doctor, get screened for type 1 diabetes. Big deal in American Diabetes Month. I appreciate you asking. Thank you.
All right, Adam, appreciate you joining us, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Adam.
Guys, have a great week.
Thank you, sir.
That was ESPN's Adam Schefter here on WEEI Afternoons.
My man was making lunch.
I heard a plate, and then I heard some food.
I feel like toast. Maybe he was making toast. I think I heard
buttered the toast. Maybe
I feel like he was buttering toast. I thought I heard maybe something. The pop of the toast coming up.
Yep.
You
okay.
Know, a little jam.
Doing
a little
dishes.
Jelly.
Maybe doing dishes as
doing,
he was prepared.
Doing dishes.
Key to success.
Well, you know, he. I think he ate the toast.
He did.
And then wipes the plate off and then put it into the dishwasher.
Well, he was also smart. When he was eating the toast, he threw it to you. He's like, you know more, Ted. You talk about it. And he took a bite. By the time you threw it back to him, he was trying to swallow that bite.
He's a busy man. He can't even get the food in between all these interviews.
He's on TV in 2 minutes.
He really is. Crazy like a fox, but also not a big fan of one-day contracts. And something I agree with him on.
Does anybody have a better reason for why people do it? I mean, Bronk did it to honor a fan.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. And so I think fans think it means something to come back and do one day contracts. So they're doing it to appease the fans.
And I guess that's fine, right? Like, who are we to say? I mean, we don't have to care. Sure. We can just laugh it off and say no big deal. But if you enjoy it as a fan, you get to see Gronk at the podium. He answered a couple questions. He and Robert had a little funny quip back and forth. Boom, we move on. It's great.
Maybe I should call. I want to officially retire as a Patriot.
And then we can sit, Fitzy and I can sit in the front row and ask questions.
Yeah.
Ted, what does this mean to you? Ted. Andy Hart, WEI.
The only two people that show up at the press conference.
Yep.
And my two friends. My two hosts.
You'll have Callahan and Perry there, too.
Okay, very good.
They'll be there.
Yeah, Phil will be there. Your boy Phil. Absolutely.
Oh, I said Bill. Yeah, no. That'd be cool
Phil.
If Bill came
No,
back.
No, Bill will not be there. Nice. Not Bill. I said Phil. That was
Phil. Yeah. Oh, Bill. Oh, Phil.
Phil will ask you to break it down. Yes, Stiz?
Just real quick, the website that Adam Schefter was referring to is screen4type1.com.
Very good.
It would have been perfect time for you to go. That website that he was looking for is stizgrimy.net.
Coming up next here on WEEI Afternoons, we're going to take a little early look. Oh, I guess it's not that early. It's Wednesday. They play Thursday night. The Jets are in town. They're not a very good football team. Is this an opportunity for the Patriots to obviously buff up their record, but for Drake May to continue to buff up that MVP resume? There's some interesting games this weekend. Matthew Stafford and Sam Darnold go head-to-head. Those are MVP candidates. If Drake can make some hay against the Jets on Thursday night, he might become the front runner even more solidly. That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Pat!
Pats, Jets tonight on Thursday Night Football. And joining us now, a member of the broadcast team this evening, a friend of this radio program, and a former New England Patriot superstar. That is the great Devin McCourty. Devin, good morning.
Good morning, man. How you doing?
Great. Nice to see you last night.
Likewise, man. It's always good to see you, and I got to hang out with Ninkovich, who let me know he replaced me on Wednesday. So you let Ninkovich make fun of me right in front of my face without, you know, giving me a warning of, like, the person who replaces you. Like, that was pretty mean, Greg.
Well, listen, I mean, you were with us for, I think, one season and then off to the bigs. I mean, it's the network now.
It's very
sad. It kind of left us in the dust here, but we appreciate the advancement of your career. You're doing a good job, by the way.
Well, thank you. At least I can say Nico is a downgrade, so I'll make sure I let him know.
We talked about this briefly last night, but this team is 8-2. How surprised by that outcome so far are you, Devin McCourty?
I think it's happening a little faster than everyone thought. I think you saw in the preseason, you know, being around and doing the games, there was a lot of rumblings, I think, that people felt like, hey, man, like, I'm looking at this schedule, like, this team could win 10 or 11 games. But I don't think that came with, hey, man, this team could be the number one seed in the AFC. This team could win the division. I think those are the things that shocked people. But I think it's, hey, when you have an influx of talent, you go out there and you identify the guys you think will be good and you put them all in a room and you put a leader like Vrabel in front and you see the belief, like being there in the preseason and seeing, you know, guys that, not even just the young guys, the veterans who came in, the Spillanes, the Diggs, the Milton Williams, and seeing how they were buying in, it was like, oh, man, like, they might have something good here. It's been fun to watch so far this year.
Devin, after the win on Sunday, you gave a lot of credit to the rookies on this team. How impressed have you been with how they've been able to step up?
Yeah, it's been fun. And, you know, being a rookie, I think the toughest thing is you come in, you know, we used to always have this debate, coming in as a high round pick or a guy with high expectations rather than coming in undrafted or late round pick, what's the balance of that? And, you know, me coming in as a first round pick, you just always felt the pressure. People always expecting the best out of you. Why, or if you're not doing something, like, why is he not doing it? Let's go back and dissect the film. And you look at, like, Trevion Henderson and Kyle Williams of, all right, when are they going to have their breakout games or this or that? And I think for those guys to just stay locked in and say, hey, I'm not going to worry about what my numbers look like, how many reps I'm getting. I'm just going to continue to plug away. You've heard the coaching staff talk about that. So to see the game Sunday where it's like, all right, Kayshawn Booty's out. All right, Ramondre Stevenson's out. Like, you guys, it's your turn to get out there and go. There was no nervousness. They just went out there and played. And I think that's a lot of credit to them. And, you know, one of the guys I've been blown away by is just Woodson. I think for Woodson to be out there play after play, snap after snap, and play a key communication role in the defense, like, he has to be putting in so much work to know the defense, to know what they're checking to understand what the offense are attacking. I know he doesn't have big numbers when it comes to interceptions and pass breakups, but he's doing a lot right out there on the field, and that's not easy to do as a rookie in the secondary. So I've really been impressed by him.
We talked about this the other day. Is this the best Pats draft class since you and Gronk in 2010?
I mean, it feels like that, especially when you talk about being able to contribute right away and have an impact on the field. And I think that has been the biggest thing. You know, I think the hardest thing about any draft class is to continue. How can you continue to be, you know, whatever that is on the field? How can you do it year in and year out? But you look at a draft class and you can say, hey, where are your rookies showing up? And you're like, man, we got two rookies starting on the offensive line. We got a rookie receiver that's now, you know, I think going to have some kind of impact. A running back that I think is going to have a huge impact going down the stretch, and guys playing on defense, like, they might even be deeper than, you know, what our rookie class had. And, you know, we had, you know, three or four guys that played large roles on the team, but those guys, you know, I think they really have guys that you have to count on. And I think, you know, how it is in New England, the key will be hey, can those guys show up and make plays down the stretch after Thanksgiving in the playoffs? And if they do that, I mean, we got eliminated in a divisional round our rookie year. If they can go further than that, I think you can really look at this class and say how special it is.
Wiggy is in Springfield because he went to see the boys play for UMass last night. Unfortunately, a loss. So Wiggy has something for you, I think. Wiggy?
Yeah, Dev, what's good with you, man? I thought I had no rhythm until I watched you guys put the videos up other than you. I feel like, you know what, I got a little bit of rhythm when I watched those videos.
Matthew Berry looking good.
Keep them coming because Chris Sims, I mean, man, I thought I had two left feet. But, Dev, to kind of touch on that point a little bit, I believe that this team has what it takes to get all the way and win the Super Bowl this year. Do you feel the same way about that? And part of me believing that is because I feel like the NFL is so wide open and there's so much parity at the top. I don't feel like there's that one juggernaut team.
I agree 100%. Sitting there watching the games every week, as soon as you're about to fall in love with a team or you think like, man, you know, Buffalo plays Kansas City and you're like, okay, maybe Buffalo, because I thought Buffalo has, you know, some issues on their team that are glaring. And then they go play Kansas City, and I'm like, man, okay, maybe they're a little better than I thought. And then they go and lose to Miami. And whether it's the Colts, whether it's the Rams, Detroit, like all these teams, like don't get me wrong, they're good football teams. And on any Sunday you watch them playing, you say, man, that might be the best team in the league. And to me, you throw New England in there, and you say the same thing. You throw Seattle in there. So I've always looked at it of who can catch fire and start playing their best ball right as you enter December. As you're going into that stretch where, you know, I think for some teams you might have these huge matchups. For other teams, you might play some divisional games against some teams that might be done and packed up for the season. But how can you treat all of those games as kind of like playoff wins? Because each time you win, I think New England will be in this situation. I remember Belichick used to say to us, you get to this point in the season, each win is a playoff win, because if you can get the bye week, that's an automatic move right to the next round. So that is a playoff win. And I think if you can start to develop that mindset going forward, you could be playing your best ball. And I think New England could be in that situation. And my whole thing is once you get to that championship game, you win that game, you get to the Super Bowl, it doesn't matter the overs, the unders, who's favorite. Like you get in that last game of the year and your players understand your game plan, you can execute your game plan better than someone else, you walk away Super Bowl champs. Like that is, I've been in games where we've been the favorite and you lose because the other team's game plan and execution is better. And I've been in other games where like the Rams in 2018, high-powered offense, how can the Patriots' defense stop them? And you walk away with a win with one touchdown being scored. So I definitely think they can be a team that's there in the last game of the year.
Devin, I'm just curious. You had mentioned Belichick and how he prepared for the team down the stretch. If you were in charge of the Giants, if you were, you know, maybe the owner of the Bills and that season goes in a bad direction, would you hire Bill Belichick at this stage of his career?
I don't know. I would say this. I would have Belichick in. Like, I thought the craziest thing when he was free as a coach before is that teams didn't meet with him. I would definitely have him in. I think you got to fall in love with a candidate because I'm under the belief of when you hire somebody, it shouldn't be you have a year and a half to 2 years to turn this whole thing around. Like, I think when you hire someone, you should say, like, hey, we're in this for the long haul. Like, we're trying to figure this out. So is Belichick that guy that you say, hey, we're in this for the long haul? I don't know. You would have to fall in love with him from a GM standpoint and all of that. But to me, like, if I'm Shane, if I'm Brendan Beam, if he's still there, however it works out, I would bring Belichick in and say, hey, what would you do? How do you see this situation? Hey, what do you think about this player or that player? It's just, to me, it's a wealth of knowledge that not many people have gotten to sit down and break down of how he built teams. And listen, when we were here, Tom Brady, like his greatness made our team what it was. But the idea to continue to be a hard on guys and to bring in the right guys or choosing, hey, this guy stays, that guy goes. Belichick did that better than anybody over a 20-year span. If I'm any organization, I would want him in to know – how he saw players, how he evaluated them. I think too often we're like, hey, what's happening at North Carolina? The girlfriend, like this and that. Like, put all that aside. I'm going to bring that guy in and say, how can we keep him in a room for 10 hours and, you know, take everything he's ever done and try to get it all in, you know, a 10 to 12 hour span.
You just mentioned Tom Brady. Is it too early to compare Drake May to him?
Yeah, way too early. I mean, Drake's got to, he's got to put together a lot of seasons for me to even, you know, think about uttering, you know, him and Tom Brady. I don't think it's too early to break down, you know, the early part of Tom Brady's career and compare, because when you work in media, like, that's what you do. You have to. It's fun to do. But I think overall, to mention him and mention Brady and what Brady was able to do in New England is just too soon, you know. But hey, you enter those conversations. If you get to the Super Bowl and you win a Super Bowl, you enter the conversation to be spoken about with anybody. But I still think that's a time away before we can enter Drake May into there.
To further that question, though, 10 weeks in, where would you rank Drake among other quarterbacks?
Right now, he's playing like a top five quarterback. That's why he's a favorite in the MVP race. Because I think when you're a quarterback and in this league and your team's winning and you're playing at a high level, that makes you the guy to talk about. Whether it was Jaden Daniels last year as a rookie, C.J. Stroud when he was a rookie, Matthew Stafford right now, even at, you know, his older age, when you're quarterbacking a top-level team that's going out there executing, you should be spoken about in high regard. Daniel Jones, same thing with Indianapolis right now, and Sam Darnold and Seattle, guys that are not big names, guys that were written off, whatever you want to say, you go do that. You should be talked about. I think for me, when you talk about MVP, like, Jonathan Taylor and Matthew Stafford, to me, would have a leg up. But, like, I think it's crazy. And if anybody would have said 2 years ago, we're going to get a quarterback in Drake May, and in his second year, he's going to be top five in the MVP talks, like, I would have said, hey, give me that right now. That's ridiculous. And I think that's what he's played his way into.
Dev, this I think is, you know, you better than anybody to talk about. One of our great minds in football is Greg Hill, and he asked this question.
Can you say the name again, please?
Greg Hill, and he asked this question every week, which is, it's such a great question, and I try to wrap my head around it, but as an offensive guy, I don't know. What is it with this defense that they always give up, like, that first possession, they give up points? And you've been in defenses, so can you, like, maybe give us a window into what could lead to that?
Yeah, I've always thought it's a combination of your calls are kind of safer or all out. Like, I think New England, I think the players and, you know, core, they're like, they're figuring out what's the best calls and how to operate. So, like, I look at last week in Tampa, like, Tampa came out in a formation that to me was kind of obvious of the point of the field that they would attack. But, like, Gonzalez was a little too far off Emeka Buka. I thought Woodson could have been a little bit more aggressive in their call in the middle of the field. But they were all, like, I would say a step and a half, a little late. Like, kind of like, maybe this is a concept, maybe it's not. Let's just play it safe. And I think they kind of have that approach in the game. I think it's, you know, they have some younger guys out there. So you're like, you're figuring out the game plan, how this team is going to attack you. And it's almost like, let's not be too aggressive early and let's figure it out. And then I think then they go from there. But I do think they can, and I think they probably will be, it's at this point of season where you can start to say, hey, I don't think this team is going to open the game and attack us running up the middle. And if they do, let them have fun blocking Tonga, Milton Williams, and Barmore. And I think they will start to say, let's play to our strengths on this opening drive. Let's come with maybe outside pressure because we think the team, if they run, they're going to attack us outside. Hey, let's call some calls in the secondary that allow us to jump some routes in the middle of the field because we think teams are going to go play action and, you know, pretend like they're going to run up the middle and try to hit us right behind the linebackers. I think they'll start to feel like, hey, this is how we're being attacked. Let's now start to attack that instead of being a little bit more passive. But I think they're also like, hey, we give up a drive early in the game and then that's it. Let's not go crazy and change everything. But I think as a fan, even when I watch, I go, here we go again, early drive in the game, giving the team confidence. Like tonight is just like, hey, don't give the Jets any type of drive to give them confidence. Let's get three and out or a turnover and, you know, take over the game right from the beginning. But we'll have to see how it plays out.
You brought up Gonzalez. He's eligible for an extension after this season.
Extend him.
What's that number?
Extend him.
Is that like 4-130, 140? Like, what's that number look like to you?
Whoever was that? Is that Sauce Gardner's contract? Give him $100,000 more to Sauce. Make him happy. Whatever that is. To me, and I said it, I was on Chris Sims' podcast. I said, I think Gonzalez this year goes from, instead of people saying like he's top 10 to top like 5-ish, as I think people say like, hey, there's no corner I would take over Christian Gonzalez. Like, he's that guy. And I think you saw the impact early in the season when he wasn't out there. And you turn on the film this past week, Emeka Buka's been outstanding this year. In man-to-man coverage, when he was on Emeka Buka, you were like, holy damn, like, Emeka Buka can't get open. Like, there's no space. Like, he, to me, he's that good of a corner. Like, I would pay him whatever that number is. I would pay him early because, like we see in Philadelphia, when you pay guys early, it gives you more freedom. You have a rookie quarterback on a rookie contract. Pay those guys and try to take advantage of it.
Devin, what have you seen from Mike Vrabel this year, and how much credit does he deserve for the team's 8-2 start?
A lot of credit. I think, you know, I started off, I think his presence of what he demanded coming in as a, you know, former head coach and being at the Titans, I think when he came in, he had a clear vision on how this team gets better. I think because he had leverage, he had other jobs, he could have went and worked for the Jets. He came in, I think he came in and told ownership, hey, if I'm going to take this job, these are the things we have to do. And I think you saw that right away, the investment into free agency, how they went about the draft, the different upgrades that they have in the building a new facility. Like, all of those things go a long way when you're talking about we're building culture, we're bringing guys in, we're getting guys to believe. I think that all stemmed from Vrabel taking over. And then him as a coach, I think how he goes about it, whether it's a guy hurt on the field and him coming out, holding their hand or talking to them. I mean, the ballsy before the half, first down, to not actually try to score. And, you know, like, there's coaches, I think, in the NFL, when you do that with your team, they're like, this is stupid. Like, what are we doing? You could see, like, that whole team was like, all right, like, we've talked about this. We've practiced this before. We know this situation. Offense, we got to go score now. And Diggs makes the unbelievable fourth down catch. That's a team that's behind their coach. That's a team that we saw a long time in New England when Bill would make some, hey, we're going to go for it on 4th-and-2 in this area. Like, whatever it is, you saw, like, all right, even on the outside, if you could be like, that was a pretty dumb decision. Like, to me, what Vrabel did, that was dumb. Like, but it doesn't matter if your whole team believes in what you're going to do, because sometimes you'll be right, sometimes you'll be wrong. But we always had a saying, if we're all wrong, we're right. Like, that's what matters, and I think that's what they have right now in New England. I think that is all because of Vrabel and his presence, what he brings, what he preaches day in and day out. Those guys, it's the old-school New England way. Like, no one will understand what we're doing, but we believe in it, and we'll keep doing what we're doing, and we'll just win games and keep it moving.
Well, Dev, we miss you on this show. We miss you on this football team, but we will be able to watch you tonight and can't wait.
No, you don't miss me on the team anymore. There's a new 32, and you don't need me out there. But I will say, I still had a faster time as a ball carrier than Trayvon Henderson. So until he beats that, I'm gonna hold that. I'm gonna take
that
for
myself.
Pretty
impressive, right
there. Yeah, man, let's go.
All right, no, any danger of a trap here tonight, or not this team.
I don't think so, but division opponent, there's always a little bit that could have come up. But I just think this team is hot, and I think it benefits the Patriots not having a full week to practice compared to the Jets. They have a lot of moving parts. They got Garrett Wilson's out. You kind of want to switch to Tyrod Taylor at quarterback, but you're not going to get to like. I think that all favors New England tonight.
Devin McCourty, thank you, and we look forward to seeing you again soon.
Good talking to you guys.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
WEEI Afternoons, right to the guest line.
How many times has this song been remixed and remade and
Are you complaining about the remix?
I love this song, Ted. Come on, Ted.
I love this song.
Okay.
But I think of who was singing it originally?
Tracy Chapman.
Tracy Chapman.
Tracy Chapman. Cleveland's finest. Come on.
Oh, she's from Cleveland?
But you know where else she's from? Tufts University.
Is she really?
Oh, yeah. I lived in the same apartment.
I like it.
Yep. Same apartment. Marshall Street. I lived in the exact same apartment as Tracy Chapman.
And if we're being honest, I think Tracy Chapman actually, it was a remake. She sang it as a remix.
That's okay. She made it her own.
Yeah, I get you.
Great song.
Great song.
We all love it. Former Patriots quarterback Brian Hoyer joining us here on WEEI Afternoons. Brian, I wanted to ask you, we saw the breakout game from Kyle Williams, Travion Henderson, making history with 350-plus yard touchdown plays. How enjoyable and easy is it as a quarterback when you give the ball to somebody with that kind of speed and just watch the back go down the field?
I'm trying to think if I ever had that happen in my career. I can't think back to it. To when that happened, and honestly, and I love the guys, you know, the Rex Burkheads, the Shane Vereens, the Sweet Feet James Whites, you know, played a lot of great running backs here in New England.
None of them are going to catch Travion Henderson in a race. And so it was pretty fun to see him have that breakout game. And you knew it was there. We saw it in training camp. You saw glimpses of it. But, you know, I thought the first touchdown run was so great. It was a greatly blocked gap scheme run. Matt Collins took care of the safety, and the corner couldn't get over in time. And it's just he needs that little bit of space, and he's gone. And so now you have a home run threat at running back, and sometimes necessity forces you into having to play the kid, and he played tremendous.
Brian, on this show, you had your preseason prediction of between 8 and 11 wins. I think some people disagreed, but I don't think anybody disagreed because you were low on your win prediction. So as they continue to redefine what success means this year, is there anything that jumps out that can slow this train down? Anything that even vaguely falls into the column of I'm still worried about X on the Patriots?
No, honestly, the only thing I think that slows them down is their health. And we've always, Ted, you know this. It was a statement here for a long time. Nothing's more important than the health of the team. And so, you know, you hear Vrabel and the way he's handling schedules and things like that. Obviously, it's a quick turnaround this week, so you got to get guys healthy. And, you know, you see the injury report. And look, I was down recording a segment with Zolak the other day, and the Patriots were out practicing. Now, granted, it was probably a walkthrough, but it's Monday night. Usually that's when you're getting the scouting report for the team. You're going home. It's a Thursday night game. They understand they got to grind through it, go out and get this win in these spectacular Nor'easter jerseys. I got my own one today. Oh. Shout out to the Patriots social team. They sent me a custom Hoyers rivalry jersey. It looks incredible, so I'll probably be wearing it on Thursday night there. I'm looking forward to it.
Huh. I got to get the Patriots. Don't have my address, obviously.
Did you check the mailroom?
Yeah,
next break?
I checked. There was nothing there, man.
In all honesty, Ted, I think they need to bring back the uniforms that you wore when you were playing here with the big flying Elvis on the shoulder. I love those.
Brian,
things.
People, that's people's favorites, and it might be mine too, man. That jersey was pretty sweet, but look, I'm kind of with you. I'm trying to, you know, Dan's question. I'm having a hard time to figure out what slows him down, and what defenses are trying to do, Brian, is to figure out how to slow Drake May down. You know, he's had three games in a row where he's been pressured 50% of his dropbacks, and he's still balling out. Brian, if you're a defensive coordinator, you know, how do you stop Drake May? I mean, even though his completion percentage was down, he still had the big plays. I mean, what would you do as a defensive coordinator to get this kid off his game?
Man, honestly, at this point, it's just amazing. Like, sometimes I said it a few weeks ago, it's hard to remember he's 23. He handles it so well. And the thing that I appreciated him this past week in Tampa, he took some shots. And these weren't, you know, the ones that we're always saying he's got to protect himself. He's got to slide. No, he was in the pocket. He hung in there. The Kyle Williams touchdown was a great example. Oh. Gets drilled as he's throwing. It throws an absolute dime. And then the play before he drops the go ball to Matt Collins, he got obliterated by Vita Vea. I mean, it was one of the hardest hits I've seen. And he just gets back up and drops a 55-yard dime down to Matt Collins, who, by the way, ran an incredible route, sold the in cut, stem to the go route. I mean, honestly, I don't know. Obviously, we're going to, as the season goes on and they go deeper and deeper into this run that they're going to have, they're going to be challenged. But he handles it so well. He's so calm. He doesn't let a mistake hang with them. It's been so impressive. And ultimately, what gives me a lot of confidence going as they go towards this postseason run is the coaches that are around him, not just Vrabel, but with McDaniels, what he's going to do in the game planning. He had Drake prepared for the blitzes. He had an incredible conversion to Pop Douglas on a blitz where they blitzed. He replaced him. It was a big play. It just seems to me like he's seeing everything really well.
Former Patriots quarterback Brian Hoyer here on WEEI Afternoons. Okay, Brian, as both you and your dad know, I can be a little negative at times.
Oh, boy.
So the one question, if you wanted to give me one concern, I'm interested to see how Drake May is going to perform in weather, in cold. We saw it Sunday. It was raining early. I think he started 2 of 7. Tony Romo was like, oh, the balls are sailing a little bit. Well, he's going to deal with wind and snow and rain, and he doesn't have a ton of experience. How do you work your way through that as a young quarterback? Does that concern you at all?
Look, I mean, Tom was a California kid. Granted, he went to Michigan and played in some of that weather, and I'd always give him a hard time because he'd be layered up when it was cold out. I'm like, come on, dude, it's not that bad. But I think, you know, there's a lot of tricks as far as having to play in that weather, whether it's the layers you wear. Obviously, Tom was infamous for wearing the wetsuit. I learned that and wore it several times in my career. Or, you know, the way you
have your muff, whether you have it integrated into your jersey or whatever that might be. And ultimately, I think what Drake has shown is he doesn't let a lot affect him. And granted, look, I'll say this. There's nothing worse for a quarterback than playing in the rain. I would take minus 10 degrees with snow than playing in the rain just because you can't control, you know, the wetness or the slipperiness of the ball. As far as when it gets colder out, it's actually better because even when it snows, the ball actually ends up getting a little more tack to it. It's not as slippery. And so you almost kind of got to get through November and into December and say, look, once we get past like the cold rain, which is the absolute worst weather to play football in, when you get to that snow, it's an advantage and you just have to embrace it.
Brian, to stick on the offense, but to move off of Drake for just a moment, the running back room continues to deal with its injuries and issues. So a level of concern from you on the current depth of the running back. But in the same vein, did Travion Henderson prove a little something about what he could potentially be moving forward?
Yeah, and I think we talked about this last week with the trade deadline and things like that. Like, you know, you lose Gibson. You're not sure how long Mondre is going to be out. And there's obviously reports out that they were looking into running backs. No one wanted to trade with them. So that's the hard part. And I think the one thing you got to be excited about is now your rookie running back had a big game. It should give him a lot of confidence. But you're still going to hope that Ramondre gets back because you need depth. Like I said, you can't just now put all of your hopes and dreams on the back of this rookie running back while you're going to try to make a deep run in the playoffs. So you got to hope that Mondre gets back as soon as possible and at least take some of that load off of him.
You know, Brian, you just mentioned the trade deadline. I'm curious what you think, because I've been trying to tell these guys it's not the same as in baseball. It's just, you know, the trade deadline kind of comes and goes. Just your experiences at the trade deadline, the fact that the Patriots kind of stood pat. Are you concerned about that? And how is the dynamic different in an NFL locker room compared to be speaking to a baseball kind of locker room when it comes to not making moves at the trade deadline? How does that impact a team?
Yeah, well, I think it can give the team a lot of confidence. You know, I think it sends a message, hey, look, we're happy with what we have and we got to keep improving, but we think we have the right guys in that room to go out and win a championship. Now, you know, for me, as a fan slash media member, I'm like, come on, I want to see something. You want to see something shiny and new, right? You want to get something to be excited about. But sometimes it doesn't always work out. And sometimes adding something can actually be more of a detriment. And we've seen that in years past with teams where you go out, you think it's going to be this great addition. It actually doesn't end up helping the team. And so, you know, I think they feel confident with the players they have. They made it clear that they've made some calls. They weren't able to get a deal done. And now you got to move forward. And the other thing I would say is, you're right, Ted. It's not baseball. It's not you can just plug in and play. You have to be selective with the position that you're trading for because, as we all know, football is very intricate. You got to learn the offense. You got to learn the defense. You got to learn the different multiple positions. So, you know, unless you're going to trade for a running back who just gets the ball and runs or a guy who's going to rush the passer, doesn't have to think much. You don't want to trade for someone who's going to have to learn a whole offensive system halfway through the season.
Brian, in your travels, I'm guessing you saw the idea of a trap game from both perspectives as the good team. So is this a trap game? Do the Patriots have something to worry about on Thursday night? What are your thoughts on this game?
I mean, look, I think anything can happen on a Thursday night. And you know, that's kind of goes with it as far as preparation. You're not going to get the same amount of time as far as meetings, watching film. The game plans seem to be a little bit smaller, less tactical and more let the guys play. And ultimately, at least in my experience on Thursday night games, the team who comes with the most energy, that brings the most juice and executes early in the game, you can take someone's will. And so clearly, look, the Jets made some big trades, but they go out and granted it was the Browns. They win last week. And I think, look, they're going to come in here. It's almost kind of a prove the world wrong mentality. And so you can't let them get any indication that they can play with you. So the Patriots need to go out, start fast on Thursday night. And I think the players understand this. They've kind of been having this question for the past few weeks. Obviously not the Tampa game, but some of those other games like, hey, you're winning. You know, you should beat this team. How do you approach it? And I thought Drake had a great comment. He said, look, it's the NFL. There are no such thing as trap. Every week you have to bring it. And when you have that mentality, you don't really look at it as much as a trap game as I respect the opponent. Those are professionals over there too. And we have to bring our best to be able to win the game.
Brian, Tuesday in the media has kind of become power ranking day. And if you turned your attention sure. To Pro Football Focus earlier today, they had the Patriots ranked 7th, which wasn't the headline news. But the little blurb next to it said, oh, the Patriots could be at the front of the next dynasty. You saw a couple iterations of the last Patriots dynasty. So I ask you, are there characteristics of the Patriots teams that you played on that were winning championships that kind of remind you a little bit of what's going on here this year?
Yeah, there's no doubt about it, but I would say the one characteristic that I think is so similar, and probably people aren't going to talk about it. They're going to talk about quarterback and MVP, and they're going to talk, you know, about the coach. I think it's the closeness and the camaraderie of this team, the accountability to one another. I think, you know, you talk about my travels. I was never in a locker room that was as close as a Patriots locker room, and I think that's what you see from this team. And thankfully, you know, through social media, we get to see the post-game celebration, the locker room. Look, a dangerous team is a team who is accountable to one another. And I think they've been able to establish that far quicker than anyone could guess. And you can't quantify that in a Pro Football Focus statistic. You know, there's no stat for that. But what I've seen reminds me of those teams that I was on that were super close, would do anything for each other, and that becomes a dangerous team when you get late in the season.
All right, Brian, if you run into anybody or you see any of those rivalry jerseys, I think Ted would like a 2XL.
2XL,
number 52, I got it.
Yep, yeah, yeah.
All right, Brian.
Yeah, it's for 52. Never mind, give me that back.
All right, Brian, we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks,
man.
Buddy.
All right, guys. See ya.
That's former Patriots quarterback Brian Hoyer, and he continued the streak. I learned something. He gave me a new viewpoint on something. So we're going to talk about Drake May, bad weather, playing quarterback in New England, reacting to what Brian Hoyer said. That's up next here on WEEI.
Final hour, Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. Get to your phone call, 617-779-7937. That's how you get in touch with the program. WEEI Afternoons comes your way at 2 o'clock. We'll still get you the grab bag and the clip du jour. But as promised, joining us from Las Vegas is Rob Bradford of the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast and WEEI.com. He's brought to you by McFarland Energy, the heating, cooling, and bioheat delivery pros that Eastern Mass and all of Cape Cod depend on. McFarlandEnergy.com. Rob Bradford. How we doing from Vegas? It's been a while out there in Vegas.
Man.
How you doing?
Yeah, you know how it is. You don't want to spend too long here. But it was nice of the Vegas Fear to put up McFarland all over themselves. So That was a great thing to see. Yeah, that was excellent. The power of McFarland. But, yeah, Vegas, baby. Yay, Vegas.
What's the scuttlebutt? What's the scuttlebutt going on out there? What's the hot topic?
The scuttlebutt, as I was telling Billy Lanny, like, I am the worst gambler of all time. I've made two bets. And they may have been the most horrific bets of all time. So anyway, that's the big scuttlebutt. Yeah, sports bets. They did a thing where you bet, and if you lose, you get the money back, so you can bet again.
Yeah,
so that's exactly what I did.
Yeah, right.
But yeah. That, I don't know what they call it.
A no
all
sweat.
The kids.
All right. Well, let me rephrase the question. What's the baseball scuttlebutt?
It's the GM meetings, man. It's the GM meetings. No. I think that what Breslow said, before we get to my gambling exploits, what Breslow said in our first get-together with him in his luxurious suite overlooking the Vegas Strip, that I think that was pretty telling. I mean, honestly, what that was Dombrowski-esque almost, where we said, we want to get a middle-of-the-order bat, and we want to get a guy who can play Robin to Garrett Crochet's Batman. Like, not exactly how he had been operating. Sure, in the trade deadline last year, he did a little bit of that, saying, we want to get a guy who can pitch in the postseason. But this was, especially with a pitcher, it was, we're not concerning ourselves with the 3, the 4, the 5, the 6, the 7, 8, 9, 10. No, we need the guy who we know, no doubt about it, is going to be an ace on a lot of teams. So I thought that was something.
Okay, so it's Dombrowski-esque is an interesting way to put it. I like Breslow. That's a little bold, even for my taste. Why should we believe him, though, Rob? And I know you said last year at the trade deadline he was saying some similar things. They did not close on that. Why should we believe him? I like what he's saying, and I want to believe it. Why should we actually believe it?
Well, you're right. I mean, when I say Dombrowski-esque, I'm talking about the words. I'm not talking about the action. He has to prove that. But, you know, I think the reason why you might believe them is because we go back to last offseason, and that's what they did, right? I mean, you have to give them a ton of credit for the offseason that they had last year. You know, you did get uncomfortable with the Crochet deal. You did find a way to sign Bregman. You did have, you got all these other guys who had really, really good years. So he does get the benefit of the doubt. He doesn't get the benefit of the doubt for the trade deadline. It was the exact opposite. You're right. Because if you look at that, we said our sole purpose, our sole goal at the trade deadline was to get a number two starter, and they didn't do it. So he doesn't get the benefit of the doubt there. Absolutely. That's why we all gave him such bad grades even before we saw how disastrous Dustin May was. So, but I do think that you look back at last offseason, at least they showed, all right, we understand that we aren't going to just tread water. We understand that we are just going to do what Chaim Bloom did a couple of off seasons, get the Kenley Jansons and the Masa Yoshidas or whatever. No, like, we're going to play in the deep end of the pool. And now we're going to find out if you really want to get uncomfortable, because if you're going to get those guys that he's talking about, like, again, you're going to have to do Crochet all over again. And you're probably going to have to spend a lot more money than you did last year for a guy like Pete Alonso in getting Bregman back.
Well, so as you talk about like Crochet and doing a Crochet deal again, that, a lot of people talk about Joe Ryan since all the way back to the last deadline. That would be a trade. But there are a couple of high-end pitchers that are free agents. Would they be willing to go that route, like a Dylan Cease or a Framber Valdez?
Yeah, I think so. But I think that number one, it's they're a little bit older. I don't think they want to go that route, to be perfectly honest with you. They didn't mind doing it with Max Fried last year, but I like Dylan Cease. I like, Valdez has, obviously, as long as you're not a catcher and don't mind fastballs through your chest pads, like he's still good. I mean, so, but I do think that my guess is that they're going to explore the trade route with this. Now, the Joe Ryan thing's interesting because you talk about scuttlebutt here in Vegas. And one of the things that this is a lot of people who aren't convinced that they're going to trade Joe Ryan. There are some people who think that Minnesota is trying to desperately make a case to ownership, say, hey, listen, this at least hang on to this guy a little bit longer. Same thing with Pablo Lopez there. So that's going to be interesting to see if they actually free him up. But, I think that there is also a drop off from Joe Ryan to some of the guys you mentioned, not only because of age, but because of performance.
Okay, well, let's stick with the trade market then. Keith asked about some free agents. Let's say Joe Ryan doesn't move or the Red Sox don't get Joe Ryan. He would fit the bill as a guy who could come in right after Garrett Crochet, pitch in a playoff series. He would be a 2, not a 3-10. Who are some other names on the trade market who fit that bill, where if the Red Sox have to pivot off Joe Ryan, they could pivot to?
Yeah, well, I mean, they made a run after Alcantara with Miami last year, so that's one of them. And although Miami's sort of like making a move now, right? I mean, they were better than people thought they were. Maybe they don't jump the gun too much in terms of trading him. And the other guy is Mackenzie Gore. Mackenzie Gore is going to be a free agent after 2028. He's a Boris guy, so that's going to be tricky in terms of getting him an extension. But you do have him for a couple years, and he showed last year he at least has the potential to be the top of the rotation guy. So I think that that's the guy a lot of people are going to focus on. And also, obviously, Paul Toboni from the Red Sox just went to run the Nationals. So maybe there's a connection there. But I think those two guys are probably the top of the list.
All right, what do you think is the most likely outcome for Jaren Duran? And if it is a trade, is it something like it's part of a big, big deal, or is it just one where you're kind of getting prospects back?
I think that if you go – well, I think to answer your first question, the consensus is that of the outfielders that they would trade, that probably he would be the biggest favorite to be dealt. And I know that a lot of people here, like saying that teams need outfielders, and we've heard Kansas City, we've heard a lot of different teams who could use a Jaren Duran. We know San Diego's infatuation with him. So, there is a market to trade an outfielder. But I think that when you're talking about trading for go back to the starting pitcher, if you're trading for one of those guys, if you cannot keep dipping into your top end prospects and use one of these guys, you use one of these major league guys to help with that deal, then you do it. And I think that that's where sort of Durant comes in. It wasn't going to be the case at the trade deadline last July, but it might be the case this time around. But I do think that ultimately one of these guys are going to get traded. I think that everyone understands that, because I think that they know that they have to balance some things off. This is why when they were asked about, hey, you got a middle of the order bat, you're going to want lefty or righty, they're going to be like, well, we'll take either, but kind of, you know, righty. And that's why the Schwarber thing, I don't really buy too much as I love Kyle Schwarber. Still, they're going to burn Philadelphia to the ground if they let him go there. And also, to be honest with you, because of the player he is, Alonzo probably is a better fit.
So I agree with you on that. I mean, I'd love Kyle Schwarber, but I think Alonzo's a better fit for that reason. He's Rob Bradford. You can check him out on Twitter at Bradfo. Baseball isn't boring. WEEI.com as well. Stick with Durant for a moment. John Morosi had the report yesterday. You just referenced it. The Royals are evaluating the trade market for outfielders. Angels and Red Sox are among the possible trade partners. A lot of people connecting the dots to Durant going to KC. Who could the Red Sox be looking at from the Royals if that were a fit for Durant?
Well, I mean, there's not, in terms of the Royals, there's not a logical, no doubt about it, pitcher that you're going to say, go get that guy. You know, they have good pitchers, but not the type of pitchers that you're looking at. I'll come back to Breslow's comments with it. You know, in another world, you would say, oh, yeah, you know, you have some of these guys who are decent pitchers, but they're going to slot in at 3 and 4. I mean, it even goes back to the Giolito thing, right? Like, I think that, Rich, you know this. I mean, we all wanted Lucas Giolito to stick around forever.
Absolutely.
I mean, come on. But especially after you hear what they're prioritizing, you're like, well, that's why they didn't want to keep him around, because I think they view him as a 3 or a 4 or a 5. And so to answer your question, I think that's the problem, is that you have these guys with, you know, with the Angels or the Royals or whoever, like, there's not a logical, that is the starting pitcher you're going to get. Now, like, they could turn around and do the whole Quinn Priester thing where we're going to trade this major leaguer for a single A guy, and we'll see in a couple of years, and we're going to show everybody, say, hey, look how smart we were. I don't know. But I just do think that if you're going to trade Durant and you know that you need these two things, which are going to get uncomfortable, that you probably use them for that.
All right, as of November 12th, what do you think is going to happen with Alex Bregman?
I think there's not a great chance, less than 50% chance that I think he comes back. Oh. I don't know why.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that he's going to find much more of a market than he did last year. And I think the Red Sox are probably going to play chicken with him like they did last year, which worked out for them. But now you're hearing teams like Philadelphia get in the mix, and without the qualifying offer attached, you know, you have the comp of the Matt Chapman contract, so it's like, it's not like you can't get his 6-year deal. I mean, Matt Chapman got it at almost the exact same age. So I'm just a little wary that the Red Sox are going to play chicken like they did last year, and then Bregman's going to say, well, you know what? I didn't have to rely on Detroit. I didn't have to rely on Kansas City. I can rely on Dave Dombrowski or another big market team. So that's why I say I still think that obviously there's still a strong chance he comes back. But once you get other teams involved for this guy at that price, you know, you have to either say, this is what we value at and we're willing to pay you, which they didn't last year, or you're going to be willing to let him go.
Okay, so less than 50% he's back, which I don't love hearing. So to me, Alonzo and Schwarber are in like a separate bucket. Those are guys you needed anyway, even with Bregman back. How do you replace Bregman? If he signs elsewhere, and you said less than 50%, that doesn't mean he won't return, but if he did...
Yeah, I mean, can I put that at like 49%?
Sure.
Like, honestly?
That's less than 50. Yeah, less than 50. We're going to stick with that. But who replaces Bregman then? How do they do that?
Well, that remains to be seen. The obvious answer is Meyer, putting Meyer over at third base. And that's another thing that we heard a lot of up in Breslow's majestic suite, you know, that, you know, how Meyer is getting bigger and stronger and bigger and stronger, and this is going to really help him.
Nice.
And yeah, I mean, so great. I mean, like, he defensively, there's no doubt he can play there. But it comes back to, you have to find a middle of the order. And, you know, Alex Bregman is a really, really good player, and he's a middle-of-the-order hitter. But he couldn't just be there on his own. When they get to the end of the season last year, they had zero people who were hitting home runs. And I don't know if you know this, but that's how you win in the postseason. Like, these teams showed you hit home runs, and they didn't have anyone to do it. So I think that you need somebody other than Bregman to actually give some punch there, much like thou who shall not be said, Rafael Devers, along those lines. But, you know, I think that not only do you have to replace him at third, but you have to replace that bat along with, by the way, you know, Alonso. Like, if you get Alonso, fine. But I still, to your point, and I don't have to say they're going to trade this guy, they're going to go get this guy to replace Bregman, but you got to find someone who can at least be representative in the middle of the order if you do replace Bregman.
Trevor Story opted in, which is good for the team. Would he move over to second base, though, and say you went out and got like a Bo Bichette to play short, would Story be willing to play second? He was good defensively, kind of until he wasn't, and he was really good at second his first year when he was teammates with Bogart. So would that be on the table for him to move off a shortstop?
Yeah, this was like Devers all over again, the comments from Breslow. You know, we're like, well, you can go to a baseball savant and see a lot of blue defensively, but, you know, we're still going to put him out there. We believe in him. He's going to get better and all that. But they're digging in. They're saying Trevor Story is our shortstop. We're not moving him off there. We think that there's a stability factor. That's all well and good. But, you know, you mentioned Bichette. And I actually think, you know, when you talk about if you want to actually go hard or go home, you go after Bichette as well. And I'm not talking about for shortstop. And, I talked to a team yesterday who really, really need a shortstop. I said, does that mean you're interested in Bichette as a shortstop? And the answer was, do you think he's a shortstop? So I think that that's really like the prevailing thought, that if you get a Bichette, it's a second or third kind of element. And honestly, like much like Alonso, that's not a bad thing. That's a good fit for the Red Sox. It's going to cost you a crap load of money, but still, I mean, he's a good hitter who obviously showed that he can do it on the big stage. So, yeah, to answer your question, though, Story's going to stay at short for now. They're going to figure it out around him.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's going to cost them a crap load of money, but they ditched the Devers contract, and if they're not re-signing Bregman, they should have a lot of it to spend.
True.
What about Murakami? I don't know if he's a third baseman or a first baseman. It sounds like probably more realistically coming over from Japan. Will the Red Sox be players for him?
Yeah, I talked to a guy who has seen him a lot, or a guy from another organization. He said there's no chance he plays third base. Like, he's not playing third base. And so, okay, now you're talking about a left-hand hitting first baseman who the concern with him is that, you know, his batting average against balls or pitches over 93 miles an hour is putrid. And maybe, you know, they say, well, that's okay. His upside is potential. We're going to change this and change that, and he'll be the power hitter that we hope he will. I mean, I think that's a pretty risky thing because we've seen what happens when you sort of put those eggs in the basket with Yoshida and not having proof that he can do it in the major league level. But, you know, you have to throw him in the bucket there because he hits home runs and he's a power hitting guy who's going to play for the corner. And Okamoto is another guy who can play third base but doesn't have the upside of Murakami. So, again, two guys you're going to hear about related to the Red Sox. But for me, I'd rather go with sort of the certainty that you know with, you know, a Bichette or Alonso or someone like that.
You know, we heard a report earlier in the week that Skubal and Skeens not getting traded. Neither one's getting traded. I guess some of the latest rumors are someone out of Skeens' camp is saying he wants to go play for the Yankees or whatever. So would you put it at 0% that either one of those guys gets dealt, or is there a chance that something happens and we get like this massive blockbuster somewhere?
No, 0% on Skeens.
Okay.
And, you know, I talked to Sherrington yesterday. He had a really good quote about, he's like, I was like, what are those calls like? He's like, usually they last a second and involve me saying I'm not doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And so.
But
okay,
he's taking calls, you know, though. He is taking calls on Skeens.
Well,
so
they last a second. I mean, I take spam calls. I take spam calls, too. They last a second. It doesn't mean like I'm engaging in conversation. So, you know, I think that Skeens is 0%. I won't buy that there's a no-go on Skubal until he shows up to camp.
Yeah.
I think that's a tricky one, though, man. Like, that's Soto all over again. He's not signing an extension with you. This isn't Crochet. He has 1 year left. You're going to have to give up a crazy amount for him. If you want to make a run with 1 year with Tarek Skubal, then go for it. But he's a Boris guy. He's just not signing an extension. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I everyone would love Skubal. But for what you have to give up to get him, probably, I don't know. I would rather go the Mackenzie Gore, Joe Ryan route.
Okay. He's Rob Bradford. You can check him out at Bradfo on Twitter. Listen to Baseball Isn't Boring on the Odyssey app. And he joins us frequently here on Jones and Keefe as well. Bradfo, enjoy the what's left of Vegas, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys. I'll enjoy the recycle there for another day and then head home.
Very good.
So I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Bradfo. A couple of names that he mentioned there. And he thinks the door is more ajar on Skubal than Bob Nightingale, who said it's not happening.
Yeah, I'd be flabbergasted if Skeens got traded. I don't think that's going to happen. But that's how it starts. You know, the player wants out. You got to start to think, like, we're not going anywhere. But the team sucks.
But if Detroit can't pay him and you can get a haul, you just heard why he would get
dealt. Yeah.
So, and that doesn't mean the Red Sox would get him, but that's interesting. The two names he brought up for the Red Sox, because we talk about Joe Ryan all the time. I think fans have wrapped their heads around Joe Ryan and how it would look like, and that's a name a lot of people want, similar to Alonso and Schwarber. But like, what's after that if Ryan doesn't get dealt, or if they got to pivot because somebody else beats them to it? The two names he highlighted: Mackenzie Gore.
I would take Mackenzie Gore
and Sandy Alcantara.
Yeah, so a couple years ago, Sandy Alcantara was nasty, right? And then wasn't as good.
Correct.
Or was it 3 years ago?
He had
a filthy year.
I was looking at Gore's numbers. Oh. Alcantara won the Cy Young in 2022.
That's what it was.
Last year, his ERA was 5.36. The year before was 4.14, and then he got hurt, sandwiched in the middle. So he's coming back from an injury last year.
Gore's pretty young.
I think Alcantara was pretty good down the stretch.
I think Gore's best is in front of him. He is a big strikeout guy, and you know, career ERA of 4.19, so nothing amazing.
Well, and I was just going to say, even last year, his All-Star year, and he had a ton of strikeouts. You're right, 185
in
almost
160
innings. His ERA was 4.17.
Yeah. But I don't think he's going to cost you like an arm and a leg, but I think he could come in, and he has the upside to be your second best starter.
And he would be 27 on opening day.
Yeah.
Alcantara is going to be 30.
So Joe Ryan's probably...
Oh, good question. Where's Joe Ryan at?
29 would be my guess. Yeah, I think Joe Ryan's probably the most consistent.
Probably in the middle.
Out of all those guys.
Joe Ryan will be 30 in June.
Okay.
So Sandy in the last month of the season had 5 starts, was 4-1 with a 3-10.
Got better. I think he had a real good stretch to finish the year. That's true, but like you're going to put all your eggs in that. Honestly, I guess what I'm trying to say is Gore's younger and was an all-star last year. Maybe that's interesting. That feels like a pretty big drop from Joe Ryan to the other names to me.
Yeah, I think so.
Like, are those guys definite number twos?
If they pitch poorly, that's what we're going to call them.
Are they a definite number two starter? In the American League? I don't think so either.
I mean, Bayo didn't end great, but the way Bayo pitched last year, they might not have been better than Bayo.
So, yeah, that feels like a big drop. Mm. I don't know what I was hoping for names there, but
Skubal.
I was hoping for, exactly. I was hoping for better than that. 617-779-7937. You can jump in line for WEEI Afternoons. They come your way at 2 o'clock. Yeah, I got Hart. Yeah, I got Fitzy. Yeah, I got Ted. Plus, you got Adam Schefter today at 345. We will get you the clip du jour and... Right after Trending with Billy Lanny, it's time for Grab Bag!
Goodbye, home run. Yes, Grab Bag Jones.
Mr. Grab Bag.
Adam Grab Bag Jones is once again in trouble with the law. Grab Bag was arrested after an incident downtown.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.